Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. So I got a question for you this morning. I got a few, but I'm going to start off with this question. What do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? Well, I'm going to answer that in a few moments. But the implication of that answer to that question, I believe, for our church family is bigger than you can ever imagine. When you're growing up, did you have a favorite superhero? Someone who's just kind of like, wow, this guy or girl is so cool. Anyone? Yeah. Who's that? Aquaman. Why did you like Aquaman? Okay. Cool. I heard Captain America over here. Where's that? Is that Judy? Judy, Captain America. Did you know that there was a Captain Canuck? Yeah, there is. Look it up. Google him. He's not nearly as cool as Captain America. That's why nobody knows him. But there is a Captain Canuck. But Captain America, why do you like Captain America? Oh, his shield and his muscles. Is it kind of like this, Judy? Yeah! What's your favorite superhero? Question? The question. I haven't even heard of the question. Question for you. Why is the question your favorite superhero? Super cool. You know, in the first service, when I asked this question, Tamala was here. And she says, my favorite superhero is Mighty Mouse. I'm like, really? Mighty Mouse? Like, I didn't even know how to respond to that. I'm just like, we're talking about real superheroes, not cartoons. Like, yeah. But that doesn't make sense either, right? So I don't know. Mine was always, and I shared a story when I was a little kid. Mom and Dad took us to a drive-in movie theater, and I got to see the very first Superman. And it just, oh, I just remember the energy surging through me to see my first superhero movie. I just loved it. It was so cool. And to this day, Superman's my favorite. Like, what else do you want in a superhero? Like, if you had to choose, like, Spider-Man does the little flying thing with his webs and super strength, and Captain America has got the shield and big muscles. But Superman is the complete package. You know, the guy can fly. The guy can run fast. The guy has strong, he's the Man of Steel. The guy is bulletproof. He has laser beam eyes. He has frost breath. His only weakness is kryptonite. And really, when was the last time you saw that laying around? You know, like the guy is amazing. Now, you may be saying here this morning, like, you may not like superheroes at all and being like, serious, Pastor? Come on, this is kid stuff. Why are you talking about this? But this morning, I beg to differ. Billions of dollars in profit from superhero movies over the last few years really paints us a different picture. See, there is something about superheroes that the world currently is fascinated with. See, I looked up in Webster's Dictionary, superhero. And here's the definition. A fictional hero having extraordinary or superhuman powers. An exceptional, skillful, or successful person. Now, I don't mean to criticize Webster's on their ability to curate definitions. That's their business. However, I don't think this one is correct. It's not inaccurate, but I don't believe it's complete. Superheroes are extraordinary, superpowered, exceptional, skilled people. But I believe that that's only half of it. Superheroes are, because of their unique abilities, they have a specific context to help people in a specific way. You know, I don't care whether their superpowers are flying or fighting or web-slinging or running or strength or anything else. If they aren't using that power in a specific context to help in a specific way, then really what's the difference between them and a dude who's a couch potato? Having superpowers is one thing, but it takes action to make a superhero. Now, I'm not saying that he's made it possible for... I believe that if we're a follower of Jesus, did you know that God has given you superhero powers so that you can be a superhero? Now, I'm not saying that he's made it possible for you to become famous and have movies about you. Most of us in this room would probably never be widely known. But fame is not part of this equation. Fame is not what makes a superhero super. A superhero is someone who utilizes his or her abilities in a specific context to help out in a specific way. In fact, I really believe that loving your church is being a hero. Being the hero that God has created you to be. And that hero God has made you to be has superpowers. That hero is part of a Justice League, part of a superpower team. And it has a community or a city that desperately needs them. You have superpowers. Each one of us in this room have spiritual gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 starts off letting us know that Paul is going to talk about spiritual gifts. Then it goes on in verse 4. There are different kinds of spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit is the source of them all. There are different kinds of service, but we serve the same Lord. God works in different ways, but in the same God who does all the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each one of us so we can help each other. Isn't that amazing? God gives us, each one of us, at least one spiritual gift. A spiritual gift is a Holy Spirit-empowered ability that is given to serve others. It is a super spiritual power, if you will, given for use in a specific context to help people in a specific way. Now, though it's not exhaustive, some of these possibilities could be exhortation, giving, leadership, mercy, serving, teaching, administration, discernment, faith, helps, knowledge, wisdom. There are two really important things to remember about spiritual gifts. The first is God is the one who picked them for you. This passage tells us that God is the one who empowers us. Romans 12:6 says, we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. It's important to realize that we didn't apply, request, campaign, petition, or do a Kickstarter to get these gifts going. God, in his infinite wisdom, his infinite love, his care, his power, knew exactly what gift you needed and which gifts you're best suited for. Isn't God amazing? Just think about that. God blessed you and entrusted you with a specific ability to make a difference in your world. Second, it's a Holy Spirit-empowered gift. When you hear the list of possible gifts, you may be doing a proverbial head scratch this morning. You might be thinking, you know what? I've had some really good teachers in my life, and some of them were obviously openly not a favorite friend of God. They made statements that say that God doesn't exist. So if that's the truth, how could a good teacher be walking in that power of the Spirit? That's a great question. The thing to realize here is that there's a lot of really good teachers out there. Some amazing, incredible teachers out there. But there's a difference between great teachers and teachers empowered by the Holy Spirit. One is exhibiting their natural ability, which I also believe is God-given. But the other is exhibiting an ability infused by the power of the Spirit of God to speak in such a way that surpasses the mere passing of information and inspiration. One teaching with the Spirit gift of teaching does so by being led by the Spirit. They're guided by the Spirit. They step into the power of the Holy Spirit. They're supported by the Spirit. They're sustained by the Spirit. A great example of this is, remember the story of Paul? Peter, when Peter got baptized with the Holy Spirit, he got filled with the Holy Spirit, and then he preached a message, and 3,000 people came to the Lord. Man, I think that's fair to say that was a supernatural message infused by the Holy Spirit. So by being led by the Spirit, guiding by the Spirit, powered by the Spirit, you know what? If you want to put it into sort of a practical sense for us to be able to paint a picture, one of the strongest, most dangerous boxers in the world in his prime was Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson was a powerhouse. He knocked so many people out in the first round because the absolute ability that he had in his punch. Now, if Mike Tyson was to walk in here right now, and I would say, okay, I need a volunteer for Mike to punch. Anyone willing? And Tom says, yep, I'm willing. I'll take it, and Mike Tyson punches him, I bet you it's fair to say it'll hurt. even though he's not in his prime anymore, I still think that he'd be able to throw a punch that would hurt. In his prime, it would really hurt. Okay? Fair to say? Now, what about if all of a sudden Superman, the Man of Steel, came in and the same challenge happened? And Man of Steel was to punch Tom. See, it's not human knuckles. Now we have infused steel man who now punches, and it's completely different. I believe it's fair to say that would hurt even more. So there's more than natural ability going on. There's something supernatural happening. There's been many great leaders throughout history, but someone leading with the gift of leadership is exhibiting something supernatural. You've been given an amazing ability to be used by God, and that is so exciting. It might also be slightly confusing when the natural question is, then what is my gift? Now, here's three ways that we can learn and develop and understand the giftings that the Lord has given us. Number one, we get involved somewhere in church. If you're not sure when, then ask. At the Hub, Pastor Missy has come up with this little areas to serve list. You can grab that on your way out. Take a look through it. Now, this is not an all-encompassing survey. There may be something that's just kind of like, you know what? I really feel that this is my gifting, and the Lord has just prompted my spirit to put that right on the back. Write what your giftings is if you know what that is. But if not, look through that. It might just spur you on, kind of like, I'd like to try that. But I think fear holds us back. You know, we kind of think, okay, well, let me go through this. Ooh, okay, there's some help needed in the nursery. Ooh, I'm not going to sign up for that. Because if I do, it's a life sentence. You know, I think it's really important to touch base with whoever is your supervisor, whoever's looking after that ministry, and say, listen, I would really like to try serving in kids ministry or youth ministry for a period of time. You know, I remember when I was a youth pastor, quite often I'd be in service and the Lord would highlight someone. And I'd go up to them afterwards and say, you know what? I don't know if you know me, but I'm the youth pastor here. And the Holy Spirit just highlighted you. And I'm wondering if you would be willing to serve for 3 months in youth ministry. Come on out on Friday nights. See what we do. And they're like, 3 months? Yeah, I can do 3 months. But I'm not doing it more than 3 months. I'm like, yeah, no problem. 3 months. After 3 months, let's have a conversation. So they'd come out, they'd see what's happening, and you know what? They would fall in love with youth. They'd be like, this is so cool. Man, I love Friday nights. This is so good. Man, God is doing some things. He's touching these kids. I want to be part of this. And then afterwards, we'd have that conversation. Okay, here's your out. Do you want out? And every single one of those people reply with, no way. Sign me up. This is where God has called me. Now, if they had have walked in that place and said, you know what, I just don't think that this is for me. Awesome. Bless you. We can walk in that place where it's just kind of like, I want to try a few things. Just really find what my passion is. Regardless, it's dangerous to do nothing. Because in nothing, you will find discontentment and frustration. The big thing is, where do you find life? What areas are you taking ownership in? See, when you take ownership in an area of service, even if it's behind the scenes, ministry, you grow in joy, you grow in fulfillment, you grow in purpose. When we take ownership, it's not just a church that I go to, it's my church, and I love my church. I found this little video that I think is so cute, and I thought I'd show it to you this morning. Go ahead and roll that.
When you own something, you care a little more.
Isn't that awesome? If you are gifted in a specific way that is going to bring people closer to Jesus, help people in the relationship with Jesus, show people Jesus. Having given the suggestion, I don't think it can be separate from the next two. The next one is ask others. Remember last week I talked about inviting people into your own backyard? Why we want to do this is we want to grow in relationship with one another. And when we grow in relationship with one another, then what we can do is we can have some pretty cool conversations. We can go for coffee. We can hang around and have a barbecue. And last week, do you remember I kind of picked on Frank Simpson? I said, you know what? Frank is my buddy and he's weird. Remember? I've invited Frank to come on up here. And I just wanted to kind of model this a little bit this morning. You know, the point of this is not to give you a big head and be like, you know what? I'm looking for that pat on the back. The point of this is to be able to speak life, and sometimes we have blind spots in our life, to be able to encourage one another about what we see. So Frank is going to ask me a few questions. You might want to write them down, because these are some great questions that you can ask the person or people that you've invited into your backyard.
And I think that one thing that you need to know is that when Lance and I get together in his living room or my living room, we wear these shirts and we have microphones. Yeah. So... You may want to as well. So. But, I mean, it is nice to just be able to talk just direct one-on-one and, you know, ask these questions that may not be comfortable to ask, but in a place where it's safe to ask the questions, yeah. You know. So one thing I wonder is, like, when you think of the spiritual gifts, is there one or maybe even more than one that you think of it as related to me?
You know, Frank, I see multiple gifts in your life. One is helps, for sure. In the whole area of helps, whenever we do like a drama type of message, you're always on the top of my list. Because one, I know that you'll say yes. And you love it. And you do such a good job with it. And it just helps to portray the gospel in such a way that people, like, we all have different senses. And when people hear the gospel, that's one method of doing it. But when people can taste the gospel, when they can see the gospel, when they can hear when they can feel the gospel, it changes it. And you're so good at communicating that and being in so many Ellen shows with you. I understand that that's your passion and your heart. Is to be able to see that come into fruition and help out in whatever way is needed.
Mm. Wow. So what would it be that, what would I be doing when you see the Spirit active in my life?
You know, I said there was multiple gifts and I talked about helps, but another gift that I really see vibrant in your life, Frank, is encouragement. And I'll tell you why. Probably it was Annie, I think. So probably two Christmases ago, Frank and I shared a dressing room with a guy named Steve. And Steve was a guy who really does not believe in the Lord. And I remember Steve kind of saying to us in our dressing room, he came in one day and he was sick.
Right.
And he said, oh, man, I just don't want to be here today. I'm so sick. And I said, can I pray for you? And he immediately said, no, you can't pray for me. I don't want anything to do with that, and kind of put up the walls. And then a year later, we did a show, and Steve was also sharing the dressing room with me. And I said, hey, Steve, just to let you know, I'm going to pray for you. And he responded by saying, just to let you know, I still don't want you to pray for me. And then we kind of laughed and chuckled. And then he stopped. He says, you know what, Lance, actually, I wouldn't mind if you prayed for me, just as long as you don't expect my participation. But you can pray for me anytime you want. With that, you said to me afterwards, that's a miracle. And you said that you've known Steve way longer than I have. and to see God opening up that those doors. And now there's a part three to the story. The one time I was just sitting over my couch in front, and Steve knocked on the door and dropped by the house and just kind of wanted to hang out. And you said to me, Lance, it is amazing to see what God is doing in his life. And you prayed for Steve. And we got to pray together, you and I, and we got to see, and so many times we've been hanging around and we just see people coming in sick. We see people who are down and out. And to be that encouragement, to come alongside and pray for people, you are so good at that. And that brings life to you personally, and it brings life to people.
Which is an amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to know Steve. he's an incredible guy.
Yeah.
He really is. So then, so what am I doing to make just the community at large better then?
I think to make the community at large, what I see in you is your yes is yes. You know what? I know what kind of a busy schedule you have. And again, with the Ellen, with your work, with all this kind of thing, you're always willing just to jump in there. And man, I can't remember what we did here, but I remember something happened. Oh, it was when we did that, I was going to do that Jean Valjean.
The master of the house?
Master of the house thing. Right. And that Sunday morning, I called you and I said, Frank, I've got no voice and I'm going to struggle preaching that day. Could you do it? And not saying, like, you're giving me no notice. It's like you're on in a half hour. And you said, absolutely. And afterwards, I said to you, I said, you know what? I think it turned out better than what I originally envisioned, because you came with the right heart, you came with the right spirit, and you didn't allow fear to deter it, but you're like, yes, I will help in any way I can. And that's a gift to me as the pastor, but it's also a gift to the body, because that would have been a component that the people on that day who were touched by the Lord would not have been able to receive. But because of your yes, it was a powerful service.
It was fun too.
Yeah, it was fun. So thank you, Frank.
Thank you.
Awesome. Bless you, man.
Love you, buddy.
So I just wanted to take a moment and just kind of model that. And that could look however you want that to look. Have those conversations. Invite people into your own backyard. Ask them, what do you see me doing when it brings life to the community, to the church? And I think you can have some great conversations. The third thing is check your energy levels. You know, if you're tired, dreading going to serve, not feeling a lot of passion, then maybe that's not something that you're gifted in. Now, the reason why I say the word maybe here is because there's something about perseverance as well. And you know what? Every single one of us, I'm sure, have had days where it's just like, I just don't feel like going to church today. Let's be honest. I remember, I personally love those Marvel movies and going to that, but I haven't gone to a movie at the theater for probably about a year and a half now. And last weekend or 2 weekends ago, Cindy says, hey, we haven't gone to a movie so long. What do you say we go see that new Avengers thing? I'm like, yes, I would love it. I'm like, but I heard it's 3 hours long and I just don't want to sit in a movie theater for 3 hours. So I said, I think I'll pass. And she's like, what? That doesn't mean that I don't like it. It just means that I just didn't feel like doing it that day. So that's why when you check your energy levels, I think it's a good indicator to say, you know what, this ministry is not for me. But it's not the primary indicator. We have to also check out that whole passion part. But whatever your gifts are, we need to remember that they were supernaturally given to you by God. There is something that you are empowered by the Spirit to do, not for your own gain, but for the benefit of others. You have a superpower in the church. But you know what? The greatest thing about the church is you're not alone. The thing I love about the Avengers is that it isn't about one person. The Avengers are a team, ensemble, a group that couldn't meet a specific need on Earth alone. They need one another. There is God's plan for you and me. Let's take a look at this Romans 12 passage, starting in verse 13. Because of the privilege and the authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you're better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluations of yourself, measuring yourselves by the faith that God has given us. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouragement, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Doesn't this passage really complement what we read in 1 Corinthians 12? That you and I need one another? Here's the thing that might be hard to grasp, but we have to allow the scriptures to guide us. The gift that the Lord has given you is not for you. The Bible teaches us that the spiritual gifts were given for us for others. Doesn't 1 Corinthians 12:7 say, but your gifts and my gifts were given for the common good? Your gifts were given to you to help others, to serve others, to benefit others. They weren't given to us for our enjoyment. Romans 12:5 says, even take so far to say that we are members of one another, meaning each member belongs to one another. So your gifts aren't yours, they're mine. And my gifts aren't mine, they're yours. That is so amazing how the body of Christ works. And when we understand that, it is important. It's an important lesson for us to learn in both humility and responsibility. Humility, because the gift is not about us, but it's about responsibility, because God knew someone else would need our help, would need to experience God working through our giftings to minister to one another. Thor couldn't have saved the world on his own. He needed the Avengers, and the same was the same with the rest of them. The next thing is this superpower team has a community. It has a city that needs you. This church needs you. This neighborhood needs you. This city needs you. Why? Because isn't it fair to say that every single one of us in this room would agree that this city needs God? Doesn't this city need a divine touch? And God, in his wisdom and plan, has decided that he would empower us with the ability to serve one another and the world around us. We have different ministries, children's ministry that needs people to model Christ. We have teen ministry that needs people to model Jesus, befriend teens, and walk through. You know, I honestly think that teen ministry is one of the hardest ministries in the church. Because teens are learning life. And man, they go through a crisis every 5 minutes. Because their bodies are changing. And yet, to have people come alongside of them and love on them and encourage them. How important is that? We have newly married couples in the church. Wouldn't you think it'd be so cool, those of you who've been married for a long time, if it's kind of like, it would have been so nice if I had somebody who was seasoned at marriage to come alongside of me and my spouse and speak life into our hearts. Wouldn't that have been awesome? We have a community that needs Jesus. This next prayer summit that Phil was talking about, where we're wanting to go in listening prayer, I want us to ask the Lord what strategies he has for us for Bozeman. Man, there's all kinds of things that people are doing all over the world that is amazing. But we don't want a program. We want God's heart for here. We want to ask the Lord, Father, what do you have for us to be able to take that secret that Kim shared about and get it out there? Lord, what does that look like? We're going to take time to imagine, to dream, to plan. Can you imagine what our community, what it would look like with everybody stepping into their spiritual gifts? What does superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? I open with that. Now, we talked a lot about superheroes, but I haven't mentioned Christmas yet. So let's just switch gears for a moment. Christmas presents. Who doesn't like opening Christmas presents? I'll tell you who, the Grinch. Grinches don't like open Christmas presents, but everyone else does. So if you're not too excited about opening up Christmas presents, well, maybe we should start a Grinch support group and you can lead that. But until then, imagine back to your childhood when you did love it. Now picture yourself being 6 years old and coming down and seeing that present sitting under the tree. There's something about the big present under the tree where kids are just like, oh, that's for me. My name is on it. They see the present that stands alone because of its mere size. And they're so excited. They want to peek. They want to look. But then, you know, mom and dad are like, no, no, no. You got to wait till Christmas. Christmas morning comes. They come burning down the stairs. They look at mom and dad. Please, please, please. And the mom and dad says, okay. And they run over to that present that they look at. And they go, eh, forget it. And they walk away. And would that ever happen? No. Now, when you're given a gift, you open the gift. You don't let it just sit there. What do superheroes and Christmas presents have to do with the church? If you are a follower of Jesus and not utilizing your spiritual gifts that God has given you for the betterment of the church, for the betterment of the community, for the betterment of the world, then you're like that Christmas present that is ignored and unopened. You're walking up with the gift that God has given you, shrugging your shoulders and going, meh, no thanks. So here's my final question this morning. Why did God give you to this church? Now, most of the time we ask, what can we get out of church? But I think that's the wrong question. Every one of us has heard someone like, you know, I'm just doing some church shopping right now. For me, that is nails on a chalkboard. What we need to do is we need to listen in prayer and say, God, where are you calling me? And then once we have that, then we step into the will that God has for us. And we serve. Lord, I don't know if I want to go over to this church here because they don't have a good youth ministry and I have teenage kids and that's important to me. Well, great. Start one. Do what God is calling you to do and step into that place. Don't be an unopened gift. Discover the gifting that God has empowered you with. Discover the ways that you can passionately utilize your gifts. Be the gift that you are. Serve this church, this community, the way that God made you to. You are a gift. Be a hero for Jesus. Now, I can't speak for you, but I know for myself, Lord, I want to be a hero for Christ. Lord, I want the giftings and callings that you've given me with to be able to bless others and be a tool of encouragement to others. For our conclusion today, I'd like to invite up a hero of our church, Pastor David and his family. And I'm going to ask them to come and join me on the platform. Let's welcome them this morning.
The Grinch meeting will be on Thursday nights at, I'm a Grinch. In Genesis 12, verse 1 through 3, we find the call of Abram challenging each Christ follower to respond to God's calling in life. And I'm going to read the verses in there from the NIV. The Lord has said to Abram, go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on the earth will be blessed through you. With that said, it's with great emotion that I share with you, my church family, that the electives are leaving Christian Center. We have accepted the position as the Montana Student Ministry Youth and Kids Directors for the whole state of Montana. So we'll be working with kids through college. Yeah. Seven years ago when we joined this church family, we had no idea this is the journey that God had us on. And even 3 months ago, we had no idea that God had this plan for us. People have told us we knew it. We knew it. We saw it. We saw it. Folks, I didn't, because I saw my church that I love. And that's where my vision was this local church. And so God has grown us immensely through the last 7 years, and especially the last 3 years, in our leadership skills and the way that we work with people. We've made lifelong friends here. We've seen lives changed by Jesus, and we've been part of a growing and thriving children's ministries. This was never part of our plan. As we love this church, we love the staff, and we love the people that we get to minister with every week, and the people that we minister to. We've both loved and felt loved by all of you. This was not an easy decision. I want you to know that. But it's an obedient decision. And we know that when we're obedient to the Lord, he has us in his hands. And it's bittersweet. And to be honest with you, it's a little nerve-wracking. Because starting July 8th, we have to be at Glacier Bible Camp for a month doing camps. And we're moving out of our house here on June 30th. So we have to be up in Kalispell area trying to find a house in Billings. And so if you would just partner with us in prayer through the transition. And here's the deal. I know that God has already stirred the heart of somebody for Christian Center to take children's ministries and run. Someone said to me, you've got big shoes to fill. They've got big shoes. I said, well, Converse are actually small. They have a great platform to build off of and a great staff that they're going to join and a great church that they're going to be a part of. So I know that God has someone amazing for you and you're going to be equally amazing for them. Amen. So that's what I got, Pastor.
Amen. When the new superintendent called me up maybe 3 weeks ago or so and said, hey, listen, we're looking at four guys in Montana to fill this position right now. And I just felt in my spirit that I needed to call and talk to the senior pastor first. And he goes, and I want you to know my heart is that we want him to be able to come and fulfill this position. But if you're not okay with it, then I won't even ask him. And I'm like, ooh. And everything inside me wanted to say, I'm not okay with this. Why? Because he's a fantastic children's pastor. Why? Because he's not just a fantastic children's pastor, but he's my dear friend. And you know what? I'm going to miss him so much. So everything inside me stirred to say, you know what? If you're a man of your word and you're the superintendent and you're honest, then great. My answer is no. Thank you. But as I did that, I remembered how Jabez prayed. Oh, that you would bless me, Lord. Enlarge my territory. May the hand of God be upon my life and keep me from evil so I will not cause pain. And I know that David is not mine and he's not ours that we hold on to and say no. But he's the Lord's and the Lord is enlarging his tent pegs where now he's not just in charge of kids in the Gallatin area, but all of Montana. So we need to be praying for the Alexifs. We love these guys. We're going to have a big party send-off for them. Send them off right. But our heart is that, God, we want to release the best with blessing. Amen? Even though David said that he can't leave this church till he beats me at squash. And to this day, he still has not fulfilled that. Even though. We still, no, Mike's mine now, buddy.
I'll save the best for last.
So we just bless you guys. We love you guys. And although, like you said in your letter, with mixed emotions, it's with mixed emotions for us too, but we want what God wants for your life. Amen? We'll